about.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Moist. Discharge.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So there you have it, party people. Oh, I almost put that in my mouth. That dropped on the floor. I did put that in my mouth. So there you have it, party people. And what better more? What the fuck am I even saying? Why do I... God, I hate myself.
And now.
All right, are we ready?
I'm ready if y'all are.
I'm ready.
I did say ready.
Are you ready?
I did say that. Yeah?
Our feature presentation.
We do good work. That's what I know. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 21st of September.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
When it first died, September.
Right?
I knew you'd do it, Bean.
Well, like I'm going to forget the Bean best. One of the best days of the whole year. What stuff? The awesome stuff?
Anytime any date is mentioned in the song, you love it.
But he especially loves that song, too.
Yeah,
so it's like a double whammy of goodness.
I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't love Earth, Wind, and Fire?
It's the best.
Oh, the song makes me so happy. Hey, so much to get to, so much show, but I got to call Allie out, and I'm sorry to do this to you, darling.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I feel like Kevin needs to know what we're up against.
Oh, God, like he doesn't, eh?
Because before you came in, Chip and I were subjected to Allie bragging again. You know how she's always looking for credit for things. She's, oh, I'm the best at this, and no one's better at that than I am. And she's doing it again today. She's just nothing but bragging. Like
the confusion on both mine and Chip's faces is incredible right now.
That's
so
odd.
She's got such a huge head.
No one in this room knows what you're talking about.
What were you bragging about today, Allie, that you're the best at in the world?
I don't even know.
Really? You've already forgotten.
What the?
You're so boastful. You're so proud.
Of?
You shamed all of us with how good you are at something that we're not good at.
You're dead to me.
Allie is the best in the world at smearing toothpaste all over her entire body.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
Before she leaves the house each day.
I went into my bedroom this morning, and I'm putting my hair up, and I glance over. I'm like, yeah, that's toothpaste on my arm. Then I look down. Oh, that's toothpaste on my chest. I don't know how I was brushing my teeth this morning or how much excess toothpaste I used. It was everywhere. I can't explain it.
Well, how does that happen?
Don't know. But I was awesome at it. Totally forgot because it's not something I like to get out. What?
But how did that much toothpaste get away from you? Like, it feels like that's a controlled amount that one would put on a toothbrush. Like, there shouldn't be an extra 6 feet of it going around, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how much excess I had because I had a good brush.
Right.
Yeah. I felt like my teeth were clean. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking chunk on my arm that dribbled down three places.
Wow.
And then some must have just, I must have been really aggressive.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you positive that it was toothpaste?
It was minty. That's the only thing. However.
Wow.
Hold
okay.
on.
All right.
Wait a minute.
That's
weird.
Yeah.
You guys had for dinner last night.
It was.
What?
Wow, huh?
What?
It was bizarre, though. I literally was like, there's no excuse for any of this. And then I just wiped it off with a towel. Like, I didn't even go back in the bathroom and get, like, a wet towel. I was like, I'm in a rush.
Right.
I'm busy. I got places
to
be.
Wow, usually that's just me.
No, it was, I was a true
champion.
Yeah.
She's champion.
A true mess. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Of course. Well, congratulations on your accomplishment.
Right?
Thank you.
All right. Did I waste all of our time or do we still have time?
We have time.
Okay. It was a Kevin. I'm sure you watched the Lawrence O'Donnell video yesterday.
Yeah, it was funny, or sad. or made me mad.
Who do you think Lawrence O'Donnell is, Kevin?
Well, I have no idea.
Take a stab.
Zero idea.
Well, he is a
NASA scientist.
Maybe, but okay. I know him better as the popular MSNBC host. He's a primetime host on MSNBC.
Oh, I can't tell you how long it's been since I watched MSNBC.
I don't watch a lot of MSNBC either. I know it's come on strong. Ali, isn't it doing pretty well in the ratings right now?
Oh,
thanks
really
to Rachel.
Well. They've beaten Fox News a bunch of times, which is shocking.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people were tuning into Lawrence O'Donnell's show last night because the video came out, and I feel terrible for him for a number of reasons. The first of which is obviously somebody on his team released this video. This is video of outtakes of him. This is him during the commercials and during the taped pieces that are being played, interviews and whatnot during his show, where he's having a meltdown. He's just screaming at everybody.
But keep in mind also, this is one show.
Yes.
This is one night.
Of course.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I didn't know if it was a compilation or whatever.
It's not.
This is all from one night, from August 29th, 2017.
And it's not him messing up. It's him being angry?
Well, this is why I think it needs some context. I'll say two things. One, I feel bad for Mr. O'Donnell because, again, as I said, his people released this. So somebody dislikes him intently. Sure. Would you say, Allie?
Yeah, which makes me not feel bad for him. But I'll get to that in a minute.
But I do feel bad for him because everything is going wrong for him on this broadcast. And we've all been behind a live microphone and not gotten a lot of cooperation from the rest of the people putting this show on.
Did he go full Kevin?
Well, he went full Bill O'Reilly.
I'll
tell you that.
He went full Ralph.
Let's go through and we'll break down what's going wrong for Lawrence O'Donnell. All
right. What's going on? Why am I losing this? Why don't I have sound? All right, it's back. Someone's pressing buttons and turning my sound off. Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear?
Okay, so this is the first of a continuing problem that seems to go on for the whole hour, at least as long as this tape that is scoped from exists. He's hearing voice in his headphones that don't have anything to do with the broadcast. Now, right there, I have a lot of sympathy for this dude to try to do a live television show. Don't you, Allie?
I do, but
that happens. When it happens and it's out of your control and it's screwing you up.
It sucks. Yeah. Absolutely. But during a break, you say someone in the control room is pressing the wrong button. Stop it.
Okay. Well, I think he tries to do that. I don't think it goes well, but let's see.
Someone in that control room is out of control.
20 seconds.
God damn it. You have insanity in my earpiece. It's not my earpiece. It's somebody talking on our lines. Every time we go to a SOT, there's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here. James Fallows and Josh Earnest, thank you both for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
All right, so that's a piece of him on air, and now he's getting ready to throw it to another clip. Now, I'm going to turn this up a little bit because you'll hear there's some hammering going on the set. Now, he's already got the lady in his ear.
Right?
No, not like that. No. Now there's somebody actually doing construction that can be heard on TV during his show. Listen.
Coming up, is Donald Trump going to be called to testify to Congress? Michael Iskoff has the latest on that. Clear. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the hammer? Is it on the... go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the goddamn floor myself and stop it. Keep the goddamn commercial break going. Call f***ing Phil Griffin. I don't care who the f*** you have to call. Stop the hammering.
That's the president of MSNBC that he referenced there, Phil Griffin. Allie, you're on board with him or not?
No, absolutely not.
Don't think it's justified?
No.
He's got hammering during a live television show.
I get that. But if you watch that video, it's 8 minutes, by the way, Kevin.
Okay.
He is seething.
He is.
He is so mad. This is not a fluke.
Okay.
And I will guarantee his whole crew hates him. The people handing him the papers look terrified. The guy, as he's saying 20 minutes, at one point is like, 20 minutes. Like, he's like, I don't even know what to do. This is not out of character for a lot of anchormen. And I didn't get a lot of sympathy for him. And I've done live TV for 14 years.
So you feel like this happens a lot of times.
But, a lot of times.
Okay, but you said you deal with it. Can it build up and build up to then you just lose it one day?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's not a possibility here?
I think I may agree with you that he may be an awful person and terrible to his people often.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't excuse this. But I think in, I think if I were in his situation with all the things that are going wrong, I'd be super frustrated too.
That's when you get out of the business because you're hiring younger and younger and younger nowadays. Mm-hmm. People do not have the wherewithal. People are not going to be as good as they were 20 years ago for his show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You either get out of the business or you're going to have those breakdowns every night. I just watched that and I was like, that man is so angry about so much.
Yeah, he's not having a good life, that's for sure.
It takes a lot for somebody in that control room to compile that and to release it, which means that was a long time coming, buddy. And he didn't re-sign with MSNBC until there was public outcry that he wasn't being re-signed. So I feel like there's been a lot happening with dude for a while.
Do you think the morning of that day he was able to brush without getting toothpaste all over himself?
I guarantee he's good enough at brushing his teeth. That's where we differ.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I've been very frustrated on the air with you.
You were talking before.
No, I mean in TV.
Right.
Absolutely. It gets to the point where you're like, how do any of these people have jobs?
Yeah.
But then at some point you have to just go, holy crap, this isn't brain surgery.
By the way, I've never seen Lawrence O'Donnell's show, but he looks humorless as F.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything in the parts that they show of him on the air throwing to and from clips that makes me want to tune into his show.
No.
He
seems miserable.
He does seem miserable. It seems like a miserable hour, that's for sure. Well, anyway, we're out of time now. There is.
Oh, no.
Unless there's eight more minutes. I'll give you a little bit more if you want, Kevin.
I mean, I want a little more.
Okay.
Empty out the goddamn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there. Or out there somewhere. The woman talking in my ear was talking about the Labor Day special repeatedly. Every time we went to a SOT.
That's sound on tape, by the way, in case you're
wondering. Sure.
Out of control.
I love he's throwing paper now.
I love it.
The new sheriff of Maricopa County, who beat Joe Arpaio, joins us next. I don't know why I'd bother to say how to cut the SOTs when you don't do it. I just don't. I don't know why. I just.
Okay, so now he's got the lady in his ear.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He's got the hammering.
Right.
And now he has given specific instructions to his staff on how he wanted an interview edited, and they did it completely different. And now he's trying to clean up from that.
So now I have to chase those stupid goddamn entrails that you allowed him to stick out there. Jesus Christ. Crazy sound coming in my ear. This stupid hammering. I told you why I wanted those f***ing words cut. It just f***ing sucks. It f***ing sucks to be out here with this out of control.
There you go, ladies
love
and gentlemen.
It.
There he is.
I love it so much. Being yesterday after the meeting, I said to Allie, we always assumed that our radio show and our radio station was super janky and everybody else had it together.
And I said, there is no communication in the communications business. Every TV station I've worked at, things come down last minute. People are like, I've told you about that. No, you didn't. It's everywhere. It's unbelievable.
It's not just us, B.
Yeah, it's not just us.
How about that? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
It just f***ing sucks.
Right?
It f***ing sucks to be out here with this out of control.
I agree with that guy. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Yeah.
Like he is on Thursdays. Also on Thursdays, we talk sports with Jim Rome. The Foo Fighters were on Carpool Karaoke last night. Going to give you some highlights of that. Comedian Bob Saget will be on the show. Funeral Crashers is actually a thing. We have more than one story for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Odd, right?
Both Bean.
How dare you?
That's right, isn't it? Shocking. And you were burned buying something online. Saw a picture of Kanye West, Yeezys, is that what they call it?
Yeezys. Mm-hmm.
And somebody ordered them, spent a lot of money, and then got a box with some shoes that were made out of cardboard.
Literally. Cardboard.
That's awesome. So we'll do that later on today. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that's now. Well, it was 6.7. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:57.
Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat now. Oh, man, just enjoying the sound of thunder.
Were you?
Yeah. I heard there was a little rain this morning, by the way.
Yeah.
Our listeners appropriately panicked, which I appreciate.
Sure.
That's what you do.
Supposed to do, yeah.
Like you do.
Exactly. What's going on in the world of showbiz, Allie?
I saw something yesterday online that made me laugh really, really hard. It was on BBC Three. They did a little BBC backstage documentary, Liam Gallagher, before his Paris Lollapalooza show. And they kind of just tooled around with him, checked him out. He did some press. He cussed a lot.
Sure.
But the thing that stuck out for me was him trying to make himself some tea and kind of lamenting about how times have changed for old Liam. And it's worth a listen.
Yeah, it's good for the voice, so I'm told. It's f***ing good, man. No, in the 90s, I got someone else to f***ing do it, but now I can't. Money is tight, too tight to mention. Got to do it yourself, haven't you? No one buys records these days. In the 90s, I had about four people doing it. Little geezer doing a kettle, our kid, some other little doing that, and some other little idiot doing that. Now you got to do your now you got to do it yourself these days, you know what I mean? Because these smart asses download tunes for niche. And they wonder why there's no real rock and roll stars around. That is the you got us doing.
That is why there's no more rock and roll stars around. Because they're having to make their own tea.
He has to make his own tea.
Sure.
Because nobody's buying music anymore. They're
makes
downloading
a lot of sense.
Everything. Makes a ton of sense. By the way, if you can watch that little minute, it's 12 minutes, this documentary. It's awesome. Just watching Liam Gallagher interact with press.
Yeah.
And he tells his people, he's like, I'm just going to keep saying, Vive la France after everything. And he does. He sticks with that.
No kidding.
It is amazing.
And where is that?
On the BBC. It's good times.
Love it.
Yeah. That's all
He definitely acts like a rock star at all times. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what will happen if this album that finally, you know, like how many years we've been waiting for a Liam Gallagher solo album.
Yeah.
It's finally coming out. I wonder if it's a giant bomb, what that's going to do to his psyche. Is he going to be able to walk around and pretend to be this rock star that he is?
Well, he had a little breakdown a few years ago. He was going to move to Spain and just live there. He was sick of it, done with everything. But his girlfriend, who was, I think, also his publicist and everything, kind of turned his life around. He stopped drinking. He runs every morning now. I think he's in a better headspace.
Okay.
And I think a lot of this rock star thing is he just does it to be an ass.
He's having a laugh.
Yeah, I think he's taking a...
Right.
I don't know if I can say that word.
You can't.
Okay, good.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Well, I won't. And I didn't.
All right.
By the way, it is his birthday today. Liam Gallagher is 45. Actor Alfonso Ribeiro, 46. You know him. Carlton, Fresh Prince.
Sure.
Luke Wilson, also 46. Dave Coulier, 58. Bill Murray, 67. Stephen King is 70. And Dance Moms, Abby Lee Miller is 52. Beer Mug, huge fan.
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms. Here at the Teen Choice Awards. What is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
Dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
Yeah. Well, she probably isn't hearing this because she's in jail right now. But happy birthday, Abby Lee Miller. I'm Allie McKay, and for Off Garm, walk the showbiz beat.
Leonardo Butron from Azusa, listening to the show here this morning, just picked up his 4-pack of tickets for Not Scary Farm tonight. The K-Rock Takeover with the beautiful and lovely and talented Nicole Alvarez, broadcasting live from the park, starting at, we'll say 6 o'clock tonight. I hope, I'm not 100% sure what time she comes
just
up, but
whatever,
I think it's
just show
around
up.
6, right?
Be ready.
More chances for you to win every hour today on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock, so stick around, won't you please?
Let's talk about crashing funerals, which is something that I never really considered. It was a punchline to me.
Do you want to do that, or should we do that in like a few hours?
Can we talk about the thing about the you were being burned on online purchases?
We can do that.
I mean, what's happening today? So can someone, anyone?
I can answer that for myself.
Chip, let's head home. We've had it.
I can answer that for myself. Uh-huh. Is that I was watching Foo Fighters on Carpool Karaoke with my headphones in.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear anything anyone was saying right up until this second.
Oh, see, because it's been on the schedule.
Yeah, I didn't look at the schedule either, but.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that maybe I was not paying full attention.
What, you?
Right. But sometimes, you guys know what's weird? Sometimes when you buy something online, something else shows up, and that's crazy, am I right?
That's nuts, Kevin. Holy crap today.
And then you crash a funeral? What? Yeah, here's what's going on. Why did Dave bring this up? Because of this article that he saw?
I think it was the guy that was just going for the food. Right?
Guy that was going for the food.
No, we're back to... Oh, I'm out. I'm out.
I'm done.
Let's take a break and come right back. Good.
Good night.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
Kevin's literally on the floor laughing.
We're not doing the funeral crashing here. We're doing you bought something.
Seriously, I'm going home. Like, I'm done.
You bought something online.
You bought Yeezus and they showed up and they were cardboard.
Right, exactly. Why don't you get up on the microphone?
He's still under the console.
All right. Reset, you guys.
What's happening?
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Stop the hammering.
He's under the console. I'm taking a picture right now.
Here's the headline in the London Daily Mail. That's not what it looked like in the pictures, and it's a whole rundown. It's a menagerie of photographs of things that people bought online from online retailers or from eBay or something like that. And they, like Kevin mentioned, you think you're buying Yeezys for $200,
right?
And they show up and they're literally made of cardboard.
Right.
And I guess you have to have a pretty good sense of humor to be able to put your shame and embarrassment and anger out of the way and put that online and kind of make fun of yourself for falling for it.
Although,
right?
It's so far from what you were expecting. That yes. does make it funny mm-hmm. to me.
It kind of does, because it's not like they just sent another pair of shoes.
Yeah, it's just a rip-off shoe that sort of looks like it, but isn't really.
Exactly.
This is a boot made out of literal cardboard.
Cardboard, right. My favorite picture, and by the way, the reason we bring all this up in such a confusing fashion is we are going to want to be taking your phone calls of things that you bought online.
And then they crashed.
And then they arrived, and they were not just disappointed. They were nothing like what you expected to receive back in the mail. Okay, so that's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. My favorite one in this montage of photographs in this Daily Mail article is a guy bought what looks like a beautiful, albeit purple, living room rug. The photograph of the rug shows it up against a huge, like, four-piece sectional couch.
Yeah, it's a huge couch.
It fills the whole living room, this gorgeous, plush, purple rug. So he thought, that looks like a good deal. I'll buy that. And it's even advertised as rugs for home, living room, and bedroom. So he buys it, and it arrives, and it is a bath mat. So he puts up a picture of what it looked like online and then what it looked like when it arrived at his home.
And a small bath mat.
Yes. Tiny. Yeah.
A tiny little bath mat. It couldn't look less like the photograph of the purple rug.
A little bigger than a washcloth. That's basically it.
So that's what we're looking for, and I don't know if that's going to work or not, but you give us a call right now at 1-800.
No one's still listening, right?
Right?
They can't be.
1-800-520-1067. It looked like one thing in the picture. It was advertised as being one thing. When it arrived at your house, it was something completely different. And now that you look back on it, it's hilarious.
All right, let me ask you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're going to give the phone.
No, I insist.
1-800-520-1067. All right. Let me ask you a question. So this company is clearly not sending you Yeezys, right? So why do they send you a cardboard version of? Why even follow through with that? Mm-hmm. If it's so far from the item that you wanted and there's no way you'll be happy with it, why not just take your money and go? Why would they mail you a set of cardboard shoes?
Maybe they feel like, and that's a great question, I don't know, but maybe they feel like they can at least have some defense that they sent out quote-unquote shoes to you rather than just took the money and run and didn't send you anything. Maybe there's some legal defense if they can say, well, at least we sent them what we thought were Yeezys. At least they have some sort of deniability if they sent you something rather than just ripped you off.
Yeah, that makes sense, because then it's a whole different thing if they don't send you anything.
And there's another lady in the same article you saw who bought another pair of trendy shoes, and they ended up being made out of bread. Like somebody literally carved slippers out of bread and sent it back. So a lot of surprises in the mail. 1-800-520-1067. We'll hear your stories, and we'll take your calls right after.
We're doing what right now? Are we playing Green Day?
We are playing Green Day. Okay. But first, let's talk to Adrian Heath in East L.A. We're taking calls right now. You ordered something online. It arrived. It was nothing like the photograph or the item you thought you were going to be buying. What's going on, Adrian? What'd you get?
So I was ordering paintballs because me and my friend, we were going to go play some paintball. And I ordered a box of paintballs, 1,000 paintballs. It comes in a box. And I ended up getting gummy bears, a box of gummy bears.
Were they labeled as paintballs, but gummy bears were inside?
No, the box was a white box. So I'm like, okay, it's a big box, the actual big box that it comes in, the paintballs. And I opened it, and it's four bags with gummy bears in there. And I was like, what happened? Where's my paintballs? And ended up getting paintballs somewhere else for $10 more than the internet.
Did you contact the seller and say, what's up? Where's my paintballs?
Yeah, I went back to the website and ended up that see if it was a secure website or not. And I was just too excited to go play paintball, and I didn't double check on.
Right. Kane loves paintball, you guys.
Did the paintball guns work with the gummy bears? Because that would have been the first thing I tried.
Right? Yeah, that would be fun, shooting them in the mouth.
Right, that's what I'm saying. See, a happy ending here, Adrian. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, sir. We'll take some more calls after Green Day on K-Rock.
So here's my thought. People are just waking up. Uh-huh. You know, like they set their alarm for 6:30.
Right. They don't know.
All good. Right?
This has been the most professional program that's ever been on broadcasting.
Right.
I mean.
It's my point.
As far as you know. All right. So we're taking your calls right now. You ordered something online. It arrived. It looked not a little bit, but nothing like what you expected. That's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. Lupe, I think, is going to delight us. You guys on line six. He's calling us from Long Beach this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lupe, thanks for holding on, dude. What's going on?
Hey, dude. Hey, how you guys doing this morning, guys? Good. Love you guys. Long time listener. You guys are the best.
Thank you. Can't figure out why, but we appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have always been the best. I've been listening to you guys since I was in my teens. So you guys are the bomb.
Well, thank you.
Hands down.
I can't believe you're still listening after this hour, but what did you buy online?
I actually purchased a 27-inch flat-screen TV on the internet, and this is through eBay. When I went ahead and I made the purchase and everything else, and I got the package, it looked great, fantastic, pulled off the first part of the box. There's my TV, set the box for it, and as I went to go open the box, it was a wooden frame, which was basically holding the framing of the internal part of the box and some couple of bricks.
Oh, no.
Really?
So when I went ahead to contact eBay to try to find out about the seller, they had to erase their account.
How much did you pay for the TV? Do you remember?
It was about $260. It was like right when the smart TVs were just coming out, and you had the Asian market just flooding eBay with all these TVs.
Right.
You know, so that's what I did. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just spent $200-some-odd for the smart TV. I think it's going to be top of the line, and I wound up getting a couple of bricks and a frame.
I mean, they do say, and your mom told you this when you were a little kid, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But, man, you don't know. You get all excited. You see something that looks like a great deal. I totally get it. But I'm just wondering, the people who did that, I mean, you think they sold like 50 of those at $300 each and then just deleted their account and pocketed all that cash?
Well, I'm thinking for one, first of all, this went to Japan over the Asian era, so I'm pretty sure there was somebody over there making some pretty good freaking bucks.
Seriously.
How many of us actually listen to our mom anyway?
Right? That's a great question, Lupe. Hey, thanks for all the support, man, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Let's try Elizabeth Anaheim up next, line four on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Elizabeth, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi.
Good morning, Allie.
Hi.
Hi. So I purchased many, many years ago, edible underwear.
Yes, okay.
Go on.
And the thing is that I opened it up, and it was bits of cereal, and the worst part, it was all held together in dental floss. It was minty dental floss.
Literally made of Fruit Loops dental floss. That was their version of edible underwear.
Yes, it was pretty bad.
Is that somebody being funny, or are they selling it because they think you know it's funny, Elizabeth?
I have no idea. I never figured it out, but I'm like, wow, this is
what's the site? Because Halloween's coming up.
And was it comfortable or no?
Yeah, my boyfriend ended up eating one of them, and he's like, it's minty. It's just tasting minty.
Minty Fruit Loops.
Yeah, you don't want to mix up your Fruit Loops with your dental floss, right?
No.
All right, thank you for the call, Elizabeth. You're adorable. Appreciate it. Let's go to Alex, line two, please. He's in Corona. Now, here's a guy, it sounds like this year got ripped off. Alex, what happened?
What up? So I was at this funeral, right? I had seen, like, these kids, like, playing with these fidget spinners. I want to see what, like, the whole deal is. So I ordered one online, and I got a cheese grater instead.
A cheese grater?
What?
Yeah. Joke's on you. I like grated cheese, though.
Oh, my God. I love Alex so much. Oh, my God.
Alex, First of all, Allie would like to see you this weekend in person, but thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Let's try CJ. He's in Century City, line one.
Do you think anything he told us? Do you think anything he told
not
us was true?
Word.
That's why I love him too. All right, let's go to CJ in Century City. Hi.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I ordered a, I think it was like a 32-inch computer monitor from Amazon, and then literally the next day I got a package of Little Boy's Pokemon underwear.
Oh.
Go
that's,
on.
That's no, not go
oh,
on.
Oh, not go on. I mean, no, that's terrible. No, that's nothing like what you wanted.
Nothing like what I wanted. And I ran out of how many times I told my roommates the joke of, you know, I looked at the underwear and said, I did not choose you. It was
Pokemon
the weirdest freaking
joke. Oh, it's a Pokemon joke.
Pokemon joke.
Oh.
Pokemon joke. Okay.
All right, let's go back to Alex, shall we?
Are you a pedophile?
Okay. Thank you, CJ. Appreciate the call. I'm sorry you got involved in this. All right, let's try a couple more real quick. John, Canoga Park, line three. Again, you bought something online. It arrived. It looked nothing like you expected it would. John, what say you?
I bought an air conditioner from my friend when it was really hot a few weeks ago, and I didn't tell him. And then he calls me. He's like, hey, thanks a lot for the firewood rack, but we don't have a fireplace.
Firewood rack? Oh, so you had it shipped directly to his house thinking it would be a great surprise, which, by the way, I want to be friends with you if you're buying
John?
Air conditioners. Seriously.
Yeah.
The box shows up, and it's a firewood rack.
Yeah, it was just a cruel joke. It was hilarious.
That's unbelievable. Oh. All right. That's funny.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. Make it Mike, West Covina, line 7, please.
All right. Mike, hey, hi.
How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay, one time we went to go ahead and purchase a backpack for my brother. He's going to college, and we wanted to pick up a Black JanSport backpack for him. We went up and ended up ordering a $30 backpack online, and about 3 weeks later, we end up getting this backpack that's literally about 1 inch by 1 inch in diameter. It's a little keychain backpack.
It's one that's made to hang on a keychain?
It's one to hang on a keychain, but they made it look super big on the website.
Of course.
All right. Okay, here's your backpack, bud. And then all of a sudden we get this little keychain thing. My mom's looking at me like, what's that?
All right, now hold on, Mike. I have a very important question. Did you give it to him? Because I would have.
Yeah.
I would have said, good luck, here you go.
You know what? I don't know what we ended up doing with it. I think it's still in the house somewhere, but we had to buy him a new one.
That's anticlimactic.
Where's Alex?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Yes, we finally will get to not one but two separate people in the news who are repeatedly crashing funerals coming up right after the
top. We already
there.
Did that, Bean.
No, it's still coming up,
Kevin.
Okay,
all right.
Plus, the great Bob Saget will join us. He's in town this week for some shows at the Brea Improv, and he'll be sitting in with us in about 15 minutes or so on K-Rock. First, Allie's in for Rob with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Bean, when you were on vacation, I learned something very concerning about Kevin.
Oh.
He has never watched Law & Order, SVU, Criminal Intent, anything.
I don't hate on it. I just never did.
Allie?
I don't hate it at all.
Oh, Bean, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
All right, hold on. Slow
Shit,
down.
Don't you dare.
Bean, you've never watched one.
I don't believe I've ever seen a single episode of the Law & Order franchise.
Now, that's a little bit different
What's
for Bean because I think this is in the realm of shows I would like.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's true of Bean, but Chip hasn't either.
Okay.
It's not a big Law & Order room, I guess.
Well.
Again, not hating on it. I'm not saying it's bad in any way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously it was on the air for 20 years. People loved it, but I for whatever reason, it escaped me. Why do you bring it up today?
Well, I guess you won't care that Sam Waterston, he played Jack McCoy for 16 years on Law & Order. He's going to come back and do a guest appearance on Law & Order SVU this fall, but none of that matters. Because no one watched it and understood how great Jack was and how great to have him back on SVU it will be.
Maybe some of the people listening have watched it and are very excited about that.
I'm now convinced no one watches Law & Order. What's happening? I did not expect that of you, Bean.
I'm so sorry.
Bean has watched every TV show in existence.
Seriously. All right, I've got some serious puppet news for you guys.
Is there such a thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Jeff Dunham. He's going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30. Jay Leno and Howie Mandel will be on hand to speak at the ceremony. He has a Netflix special that debuted on September 12th called Jeff Dunham, Relative Disaster. That's puppet ventriloquist number one. Number two, any of you watch America's Got Talent?
Yes. I did not. Yeah, I watch it. Okay, I watch it probably
last night was the finale, right?
It was the big 2-hour finale last night. Have you watched it all this season?
Yes.
Do you know who was in the running to win?
I don't.
It's just feeling like an interrogation.
Would you like to speed this up?
Where were you on the night of? Yeah, it was the 2-hour season finale last night. Kelly Clarkson, Shania Twain, bunch of different performers, but a little girl, 12-year-old, a ventriloquist.
Hey, spoiler alert.
I mean, okay, sure. But really? Now that you've had a spoiler alert, a 12-year-old what?
Ventriloquist.
How does anyone that's 12 get into that?
Named Darcy Lynn Farmer won it all. So she wins $1 million and a 10-week headlining gig in Vegas. But she got to perform with her hero, Terry Fader, and his puppet. By the way, he has a $100 million 5-year contract at Mirage. What I'm saying is we should all be puppeteers. A 12-year-old girl won $1 million last night.
That's going to go right up her nose, though, right?
She is hot. It will not. I mean, what?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Seriously.
Yeah, because when you think of that, you don't really give it, props it deserves. You think, oh, that's kind of a low-rent form of entertainment that I don't really enjoy.
Yeah.
She won.
She won. And she's going to get a little residency, 10 weeks in Vegas.
At the Chuck E. Cheese.
$1 million.
That's crazy.
That's not bad. I think we should all look into ventriloquism.
No, I can't speak for myself. I'm not sure how to speak for...
That's a great point.
Something else.
Really, how long would you have to be in Las Vegas, Kevin, before you would go see the Terry Fader show?
I mean, is there still gambling and drinking?
Yeah.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you never would.
I never would, but having said that, he's been there and selling out forever. I mean,
he must be doing something. He must be way better than we imagine his show to be. Right?
It would have to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't pay him that much and sign him to a 5-year deal and all that stuff.
Huh.
Hmm.
Good talk.
I'd go see the 12-year-old, though. That would be funny.
That's creepy. Hey, Sean Penn's going to be doing his first ever TV series with a starring role in Hulu's upcoming series, The First. This sounds like it is being written all over it. It's a sci-fi drama. It's about the first manned mission to Mars.
Oh, love it.
Love it.
Yeah. No word on whether he'll be an astronaut or in mission control, but his first ever TV series.
I mean, he's made cameos on shows in the past, but he's never starred in one before. Yeah. I think that's the distinction. But yeah, I mean, look. Television is full of Oscar-winning actors now. You go where the writing is, and that's where a lot of the best stuff's being made.
That is very true.
I hope he plays it like Spicoli, though, right?
Oh, he has to, especially if he's an astronaut, right? Mr. Hand. That would be
the best.
Is
this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or would or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No, but I didn't. But I did. It did lead me to my last
one. You love that.
No.
Oh, dear. Yeah. A lot of birthdays today. I'm just going to read them off. You don't care about their age. Jerry Bruckheimer, Stephen King, Bill Murray, Dave Coulier, Abby Lee Miller, Luke Wilson, Alfonso Ribeiro, Liam Gallagher, Maggie Grace, rapper Wale, Lindsey Stirling, and Christian Serratos. I'm Allie McCain for Elk Garmer, walking the ship of speed.
That's that guy from that show.
It certainly is. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bob Saget back in studio with us here on the Kevin Devine Show on KROQ. How are you, Robert?
I'm good. I just love being here.
Well,
I love having you. I walk in here, and you were saying that a lot of people don't want to come in at 7 o'clock. I would have been here at 6.
It's tough. Well, you were here early. We didn't have you scheduled for another 15 minutes, and that almost never happens. But it's tough to get people to come in because people in your line of work, especially, they're up late. They sleep late, and this is the opposite of their schedule. And even if they mean well, they're dragging, they're tired.
Well, I have many lines of work. One of them is a pimp, and that is a late night career.
Okay, so you're still up from that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get people hooked up.
Bob, Bob, what's the, we were mentioning.
It's a hell of a fur coat, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I wanted to get Biggie with it.
And the stretch limo outside, very impressive.
I know. Everything about me stretch. Stretch marks, stretch cars, stretch
what's
women.
What's the level of pressure on a rich guy like you when your friend Dave Coulier's birthday arrives, as it does today? Are you on the hook for a big, creative, and expensive gift every year, or are you two so close for so long now that just a text will suffice?
I'm thinking boxed beer.
I like it. All
something
right.
like that. I mean, he doesn't. He
maybe
flies
some two-buck chuck on top of it.
Gift certificate to the 99-cent store. You know, I've known him since he's 18. Well, you don't know this. I don't know why people say that. You know.
Yeah.
I've known him since
haven't you known him since he was 18?
You know, it's funny. I have. That's what I told the judge. And he flies an airplane, so I'm thinking of just getting him some pills. You know, go to CVS, just get him some pills, keep him awake.
I just wonder if celebrities are just like us, where you literally don't have to buy them a birthday present because celebrities don't.
It's funny that you bring that up because it brings up a sensitive spot, which is John Stamos for my birthday when I turned 60, which was, I don't know, 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. He and Jeff Franklin, the producer of Full and Fuller House, and One Day Fullest House, which is just me in an urn by a window.
That's going to be a great show.
Oh, it's just going to be me coughing. Just
you're still coughing in an urn?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be alive partly, like a Venus flytrap. It'll be like, you know, Little House of Little Shop of Horrors. Don't worry, references are great at 7:10. But Stamos and Jeff Franklin threw this amazing party for me. Just beautiful. Were you there?
I was not.
I think you were invited, but you don't get up early. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Let me go through the invite you claim you didn't go. You also don't think you had my cell phone number for 10 years. So.
I mean, I did, but you weren't responding for 9 of those
years. That's just not true.
Are we in a fight right now?
What's going on?
I'm just telling you don't know how your phone works.
I feel like I don't want to interrupt Bob's already painfully boring story, but I will say I feel like it's likely that Kevin was invited to that party. It sounds like Bob would have invited Kevin, the birthday party.
Jimmy Kimmel was there.
But I feel like Kevin probably didn't even see the invitation and never responded.
That's possible. It's also possible that I was there and forgot. And that if you
that
tell a couple
so
of stories.
For me.
No, I'm saying I'm losing it. So
I am. I mean, I'm 61.
I know, but you look better and you're sharper than I have ever been.
That's not true. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. You look fantastic.
Thank
what did you. What did you do for your 60th birthday? What was it? Well, was there a theme, Bob?
Yeah, they threw a big party for me, Stamos and Jeff Franklin, and they spent like a fortune on it that should have gone to all the relief of all the victims of everything that's happening. Right
Where
now.
Were we?
We were at Jeff Franklin's house, who was the producer of Full House. Okay. Full House, and it's a beautiful home in
what was the entertainment?
Bel Air. A bunch of different bands. The Beach Boys played. I got to sing.
Beach Boys. Okay.
I feel like you'd remember this, Kevin.
Okay, you sang with the Beach Boys?
I did, and I sang things that you don't want to sing, like Helter Skelter, things like that.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
I'm relatively sure now that I was not there.
It doesn't sound, you would remember that, but you literally had the Beach Boys.
Yes, Stamos did that, and Jeff Franklin did that.
Play your birthday party.
And I got to sing for like 4 hours, and Norman Lear was there, and Kevin Pollak, our friend, was there, who was just in a movie I just directed. It's a porn film that, Kevin, you're in that as well. I think you
did that.
Yeah, you're great.
I forgot
just use
that
your
part.
Insert shots, but but the party
that's what it's called is insert shots.
The party cost a fortune, and I got John a salad at a restaurant near Warner Brothers for his birthday. So it gives you an idea.
Wow.
So the stakes for Dave Coulier, that was the question 7 minutes ago, right?
It was. Yeah.
The stakes for his birthday are very, very high. But I have to do the tweeting and the viral life for your friends when you tweet and you Instagram and you Facebook. That means more than love, you know.
That is crazy.
That is what has happened. It's like, oh, here's a picture from our retro days, which have not changed because we're still living them,
right?
But that show premieres tomorrow on Netflix. That Fuller House starts tomorrow.
Oh, really?
I know. I didn't put that up. It wasn't the top plug because the top plug I'm sitting on. What?
Huh?
it's early. It's early. It's very early. Well, I'm 61. I'm incontinent. I've got to be careful.
All right. Let me actually take care of the plugs here, Bob, because that's what I do best.
Well, you don't want to take care of this plug.
Bean does plugs the best. Bean really does plugs well.
You do?
Yes. Fuller House returns tomorrow on Netflix. This is the latest season of the show. And by the way, Bob, before I go on, you're stunned at not only the acceptance, but the runaway success of the return of Full House, right?
It's astonishing.
I mean, you probably thought, oh, it's great. I'll get a bunch of money to do this show that no one will ever watch, but it's just a P.S. you had no idea it was going to turn into a whole new career again.
I was actually on the phone with Stamos yesterday, and we were laughing, going, we can't believe it. And I did a press tour with the girls in New York, and Dave, but John couldn't be there because he was touring with the Beach Boys.
Right, sure.
Singing Kokomo.
Like John does.
Like he does with his hair. And it's just wonderful that people love it, but it is astonishing.
It is astonishing. And Bob Saget is going to be at the Brea Improv for 4 shows this weekend, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Tickets available right now, improv.com. Tickets are just $30 to see the great Bob Saget. And by the way, it says 21 and up. I'd say 30 and up if you've seen Bob Saget.
No, actually, the person in the front row is that winner of America's Got Talent, that ventriloquist
girl. The 12-year-old, very nice. Yeah,
that's
good.
I'm going to bring her up on stage, and we're going to do a whole hand puppet thing.
Are you Bob, we got to that's not a hand puppet.
We got hand puppet stories.
We got to take a quick break. I want to talk about 0 to 60 when we get back, and I want you to continue to spoil every surprise in the new movie you directed for us, too, when we return right after this on K-Rock. If the mics had been on 5 seconds earlier, Saget's career would be over. That's what I'm telling you, people.
We're just beginning.
Right?
A whole new world.
Bob Saget is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of our all-time favorites. He's delightful. You can see him in person and on stage at the Brea Improv this weekend. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, improv.com. Hey, Bob, are you a Jewish person, right?
I am, all the way down to my proof.
Right. It's so Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you. It is. Yeah. And I'm not a more of a spiritual kind of person, I think, or not at all, the way things are going. I'm a magician and a ventriloquist. I'm a 12-year-old girl and trapped in a man's body that can talk out of his butt.
So in other words, you're sort of Jewish.
I am Jewish. I am Jewish through insertion.
Jewish-ish.
Sorry?
Insertion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my parents were Jewish. My family's Jewish. You know, it's enough to make me run away when people come after us. But I've got 10 days to repent, but it's taking...
That's not enough time for you, Bob.
No, I need another 60 years.
What year is it today?
It's the year of the goat.
I'm not sure that's right. Isn't the monkey? It's always 50. Isn't it? It's New Year today, so isn't it like 5,000 and something?
It is. It's 57. It's always a discount of some kind. Gary Shandling used to have a joke. It was marked down from 57.85 or something. But I can't remember exactly what year it is. I should look it up. I mean, okay. I should be a good Jew. But it
and
is.
And are there, forgive me for not knowing, my wife is Jewish, but she practices even less than you do. But
does she collect coupons?
No, she's not that Jewish.
Have a drawer of Bed Bath & Beyond coupons, and I don't use them.
Is there a food or a celebratory component of the day today? Of
chopped,
Rosh Hashanah
chopped
today?
Liver. You take out insurance. It closes off the heart. The husband dies, and everybody's happy. And then you get the Shiva, which is kind of like awake, except the body's not there. No body, but food is there.
I got to start reading the Bible. I miss all of that about chopped liver.
It's actually in the Torah.
And then
I'm not positive that's in the Torah, though, Bean.
No, the Torah is 5 books of eating.
Wait, the Torah is the Old Testament, though. That is still the Bible, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and one day I will have an Old Testament, but right now I'm still kind of a young man.
Bob, what is I know we're going to run out of time, but I'll regret not asking
we
this.
No, can't. It's 10 days of repentance. Yom Kippur is the big day. That's in 10 days. Okay. That's when you fast, when you don't eat. It's kind of a truncated Lent.
That's the atonement.
That
Jewish
is.
That
is this whole thing is. It's 10 days of it. But
okay.
How much of it do you do? Do you do any of it? I used to. I used to traditionally, and now
there's just too much to atone for. So.
Well, I pray internally more so, just because when I pray publicly, a lot of times people they come over to you at the synagogue and they'll say, "What are you working on?" And that doesn't seem that religious to me. And then I'll tell them.
When's Fuller House coming out?
Well, tomorrow.
They interrupt
you. I'm at the Brea Improv, which is just going to be full of Jews in there. I'm actually doing stand-up because I did this new special, and I'm kind of wanting to do new stuff. And the only
well, that's what I want to hear about. 0 to 60 sounds like you're very proud of it.
It's really, really amazing because it wasn't even supposed to happen. It was this weird thing. I was on a plane, and I got an email that said, "Do you want to shoot your special on Tuesday?" On a Thursday.
That's how it works.
That's how it happened because we had a comedian fall out, and I always wanted to do it at the Williamsburg Hall of Music in Brooklyn, and it just kind of happened. And I've been doing since my last special, 3 years had gone by, and I've been working it out. I've been doing like 2-hour sets after everything that happened with the debates and everything that happened with politics. I just went nuts, and I just threw everything into my pants and went on the road, but I just kind of wanted to make people laugh. And so now this thing.
I follow you on Instagram, and you are someplace different every single night. It's crazy.
Well,
the
I was at your house,
doing.
other night.
Right, but that's...
But Kevin wasn't there, though, so it's a little awkward.
No, but... And we don't want to talk about his wife, who's the best person in the world.
Right.
And I have a girlfriend who's amazing, and the two of them are having a relationship, which is... But this permit... I can tell you, I have to read it, because I don't understand it, because it's a new model for specials.
Okay.
It's not the Netflix model.
Okay. And you love new models.
I used to. But I've got a perfect woman right now. And she's a grown-up. She's more than half my age plus seven, which is really
Is that good. The rule?
Well, it is now.
Okay.
And it's,
I know it hasn't been in the past.
No. Okay. No, I would. I forgot the happy age. So I just it was bad. but I want to.
And she was a ventriloquist.
She was amazing. She used to work with me like a Jeff Dunham puppet. He's getting his star today. It's so exciting. I can't wait to go down there. And
you're
just
not going
go,
down there.
No, I guess not. Well, maybe. It depends on what we're talking about.
What are you reading on your phone?
I'm reading that the special premieres November 14th on Amazon, iTunes, Comcast, Charter, Google Play, and many other platforms. And the album will be released the same day on all digital and physical audio retailers. So, in other words, it's coming out in a way that no special has yet come out yet. It goes on
Which
every...
is to say it's going to be difficult to find.
It's going to be so difficult. It's literally everywhere.
Bob,
but the fact that it's on Amazon is cool because you can get two clicks so you can buy the lotion and the special.
Sure.
Yeah. I prepared that joke. I'm going to do that for the girl that
By the way, did
American
you see,
Idol.
Speaking of Amazon, did you see what happened to them, Bob? Did you see what happened to them in the news this week? Where
yeah, I got the announcement for a baby shower. I got
No,
it.
Not that. That was funny, too. But they have you know how they have a thing whenever you buy anything on Amazon.com, they recommend other things that are often bought with those items.
Yes.
Right? The story was somebody bought something and they recommended the rest of the products that that person would need to build a bomb.
No. Oh.
It's an algorithm. It's not like any
automatic thing, yeah.
An automatic algorithm, yeah. So like they bought whatever, I don't know, powder or something like that, and then they said, oh, you need these wires to go with that, and oh, you need this clock to go with that, and oh you my. Need, you know what I mean?
And well, what's good is they have the terrorist address, right? Because it's on there, and all of their other addresses.
That's a great point. You track these people down. But they decided they were going to revisit that algorithm a little bit, maybe make it not quite so easy for somebody to get the ingredients together to build a bomb. But I mean,
I've made a bomb. I did a show called Raising Dad. one year. You could get it on Amazon, I think.
Well,
that's incredibly upsetting.
Yeah.
How come that didn't get more press? Or did
I don't know. I mean, look, it's not Amazon's fault. Again, it was an algorithm. It's not like there was somebody sitting there with nefarious purposes. It's just the way the computer put those items together.
2 years ago, we didn't even say the word algorithm, you know?
I've never said it.
I have, because that's the method I used sexually. The algorithm method.
Bob, I
so
want
to
ask.
Test a girl. Let me continue on this. Please talk to me.
I want to ask one more question about the special.
Please interrupt me.
And that is, and I don't want you to give away the act here, but true or false, in 0 to 60, your new November 14th comedy special, you talk about your fear of doves.
Yes.
That's a weird thing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
How did that happen? You get attacked?
Well,
I'll tell you. Pooped on? What?
No, it's melancholy. It's my mom had told me that she was, as she was passing away 2 years ago, she told me she was going to come back and visit me as a dove.
Oh,
because
wow.
There was a bar of Dove soap in the room, so she was doing like death improv, and this is material.
Whatever item was in the room,
it could have been anything.
I saw a band last night, Death Improv. They were great.
Oh, they were really good.
Yeah. Really
you
good.
Give them a suggestion, and they just detonate. but she, they got their supplies at Amazon, but she. But she, I just said, please don't do that. And don't come back as a dove. And so I have a.
Was she being funny?
No.
No, okay.
No. And I've seen doves since. And I'll have friends email me pictures of doves that knew her. And she kind of talked like a dove. She was very, very fair skinned. And she had very white hair. And she spoke like this. So it was kind of.
Is that
like,
how doves talk?
This is what happens when doves cry. But she, Bobby, nope. I'm coming back as a. Thank you. Thank you very much. That would be the ovation Prince would get if he sings that song. But she. Was very, very sweet, but at the end, not fully rational, but very, very clear. And I have a true fear when I see a dove that it's my mother.
Yeah.
And that's not what you really want, is to go through life in a Dr. Doolittle kind of way.
So she doomed you for the rest of your life with now fearing a dove showing up and
Yes, and if I get married again and there's a dove at the thing, I'm pulling out a skeet shooting rifle. You know, it's just going to be a whole different thing.
That's a party you need to be at, Kevin. If Bob starts pulling out firearms at his next wedding.
That's going to be so Charlton Heston. We're going to have Michael Moore.
I'll bring the guns. I'm in.
But that's in my new special. And that's also interesting that I find a need to do stand-up. I'm sure you've been finding that more and more with the guys and girls that come in here and the children.
Sure, the 12-year-olds.
And the dogs. Dogs that can talk, but people that want to entertain people now or
yes,
talk
we need
about,
funny Bob.
I need to do it. It's so bizarre. It's like we had so much death in my life that my dad would just try to lighten things up, and he would just live. He lived another 10 years just to keep us happy because things got gloomier. And this is
that's
time,
amazing, by the way. That's amazing.
He was a really really sweet person. And
well, I hope you outlive him, Bob. I hope you have many more years of making people laugh. We're very excited to have you back in town. Bray Improv, 4 shows this week, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Hey, that's tomorrow night and Saturday. Just $30 to see the great Bob Saget on stage. Improv.com to buy your tickets. Bob, we love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
I love you more.
All right, are we doing funerals now or no?
Yes.
Because I'm confused.
Don't be confused. Okay. We have Jim Rome coming up on sports. Dr. Drupinski joins us next hour, and we're going to break down the fascinating tape of Lawrence O'Donnell, the MSNBC announcer who had he had a meltdown a couple of weeks ago, and his evil staff released it to the public. Nobody wants their off-air stuff broadcast, by the way. It's never good. Wouldn't be good for us. Wouldn't be good for anybody. So that's a big 8 o'clock hour, all that coming up between 8 and 9 here this morning on K-Rock.
Here's the headline. Mystery mourner has been crashing every funeral at local church for 14 years. Oof. For the free buffet at the wake.
Oh.
I mean, I don't hate it so far. I mean,
tell me where I should be outraged.
Right. Exactly. What's the downside? There's probably plenty of food put out at a funeral. It's not like she's taking food out of somebody's mouth. She's just there stocking up. What's the problem?
Here's the weird thing, though. They say it's a phantom mourner. That's the next sentence. But they know who she is. Mm-hmm. She goes to every funeral at a local church to tuck into food at the wake and has been slammed by grieving relatives who are upset. Who are you? Why are you at this funeral?
I know we've talked about this before because you guys came down on me for attending a funeral of a singer that I admired.
It's odd to attend a funeral that you're not invited to.
But in that case, we won't retread that, but I showed up as a fan and I thought it was a public memorial and I thought that was okay. I may have been schooled on that. But in general, at funerals, the family and friends want to see only people who knew the deceased, right?
Yes, of course.
They don't they don't want strangers.
A priest said that he had talked to her, and he feels like she says that it's her duty to attend as many church masses as possible.
Looks at a funeral service as a mass.
That's her cover story. Mm-hmm. But she actually looks at it like a buffet.
Yeah.
Because she goes for the food every time. And it's odd to me that the church, the local church that she goes to, doesn't say, hey, stop coming to funerals that aren't, that you're not a part of.
And she's not just picking at the buffet. She's filling a box with food. This is not normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the family members have yelled at her and they're upset and stuff, but she needs food, I guess.
I guess the church decided they're not going to close their doors to anybody. If somebody wants to come in, they're going to let them come in.
Isn't a funeral a private thing that you hold in a church?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. All right. So she's there for the food. Now, at the same time that that story came out, within a few days, I saw this headline. Metro Vancouver, Canada, funeral crasher speaks out. A real-life funeral crasher. Who is a mystery man who has been showing up to strangers' funerals for years across Metro Vancouver. They actually got him on camera and talked to him because multiple people had seen him at multiple funerals. You'll be interested to see what he had to say.
Do you go to funerals where the people you don't know, the people who are the deceased?
I'm working on a book, he says.
I'm working on a book. Has he ever written a book?
It doesn't say that he has in the story. And how many years of research do you have to do showing up at other people's funerals?
So that's just a lie.
I mean, well, let's see.
This photo of Dean Shaler was shared on social media last week. He was caught crashing a funeral 3 years ago and again a few days ago. Since then, several people have come forward saying they also recognize him as the stranger at their loved one's funeral.
When I heard you talking about it and went to look at the picture on the Twitter feed, I couldn't believe it. He was at my dad's funeral in the spring of 2009. And the second time I saw him was at a neighbor's funeral last year.
Now, I would imagine you could get away with this once in a while because, look, if your dad dies, Kevin, you don't know everybody that your dad knows. If you see an older person hanging out at the funeral, you think it may be somebody he used to work with or he's in the Navy with or whatever it is.
But we're looking at it from the other side, which is most of us never want to go to a funeral. And if you have to go to a funeral, it's the worst because somebody that you knew and or loved died, you know?
But that's not what it's like for this guy, because he doesn't know the person, so it's not like he's there all sad.
But who wants to go to extra funerals?
And hang out with a bunch of super sad people.
Right.
Right. Let's hear more about him writing the book, though.
Shaler admits to searching the obituaries to find funeral service information, and then eating and drinking at hundreds of funerals, many at golf courses.
Have we got a woman for him, by the way?
Wow.
Why didn't we think about putting these two kids together?
It's not true that I don't talk to people. I do.
And do you tell them why you're there?
No, I can't.
Dean, why lie? Well,
I mean, I can't tell them about the book because that would distort it. But in the book, the protagonist ends up in a coffin, of course.
So it sounds like he really is writing a book, and he's trying to get some sort of research on reactions that people have to him.
How many funerals do you have to attend for research for a book?
Honestly, like
three?
I was going to say two. Yeah, two, three, maybe. So you certainly don't need hundreds of them.
I don't buy that guy's
There's no book. You don't think so?
No way.
Funerals are viewed by many as a personal time to grieve, and crashing that for any reason is not okay.
I think it's kind of sleazy.
I don't think it's unacceptable. You're playing on people's emotions.
That sounds really disrespectful and really terrible.
I do love it when they interview people on the street who have nothing to do with the story. All right, final clip. I think he has learned his lesson from being outed on crashing funerals.
Shaler says he didn't realize he was offending anyone, but insists he had to go to the funerals to research his book.
Since this started, it's put a different perspective on it.
So you needed it to be in the news, though, to realize that people might not like this?
I'm not going to do it again. If it's resulting in, like, trauma.
He now says he's sorry. He'll stop crashing the funerals of complete strangers, although it's unclear if he still plans on writing the novel.
So what I love about Canada, by the way, is he's sorry.
He's not stopping, and there's no book.
.7 K-Rock.
You can't bow, Chip.
KROQ, this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Jim Rome coming up talking sports ahead of Ali's showbiz. I'm sorry, Kevin, I seem to have lost it. Do you have the date there? I don't see what's the date?
September 21st.
Do you remember when it was September?
Yeah! I'm with the kids.
Right?
Felt good.
Yeah, it did.
Here's Ali and Pharrell.
This Sunday, September 24th. On Fox, something I'm incredibly invested in. You know, I love my true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And who do I love more than Biggie? Not many people.
Yeah.
It's but,
pretty much Biggie.
Yeah. True crime special on Sunday. Who
Sunday,
shot?
Sunday!
Yeah.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
He is. But who shot Biggie and Tupac?
Oh.
It's going to air this Sunday, September 24th on Fox. Soledad O'Brien and Ice-T are the ones that are doing this, and they're interviewing people who were there, witnesses, that type of thing, both of these killings.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Does everyone agree on somebody? Or I didn't think there was ever an answer to that question.
And there still isn't.
Oh,
still isn't. Tupac's mom believes she knows.
Okay.
And I think that Christopher Wallace's mom believes she knows as well.
Okay.
But what this clip is that you're about to hear is a guy, you might know him from Death Row Records, the CEO, Suge Knight. They did a little interview with him on the phone because, you know, he's in jail. And he's just, he's building up that conspiracy theory that Tupac might be still amongst us.
When Tupac died, if he really did, you know.
If he really died, what do you mean by that?
I mean, when I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. So I don't see how somebody can turn from doing well to doing bad.
So you seriously think that he might still be alive?
I'm telling you, Pac, you never know.
Oh, there you go.
So what that was Suge Knight basically being mean. I don't understand how a man who could be in a hospital bed after getting shot multiple times with a Glock right. could all of a sudden have respiratory failure after his lung gives out and everything. How could he die?
It does he seemed like, fine to me.
He seemed fine when I talked to
him. It does seem like he's in a position where that would happen to him more than most people.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
You would
and
think.
Why, look, let's just assume that Tupac survived the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he not then come out a week later, you know, when he's all patched up and say, here I am, I'm alive.
Saw him
like,
at
why
Coachella.
Go underground?
You did.
I saw him at
he
Coachella.
Was at Coachella. That's
that was,
true. Yeah.
That was a hologram.
So what?
Yeah. That
would,
I mean, what's the incentive to go underground? I don't get it. I don't see what why people think he would do that.
You're trying to apply logic to Tupac is still here. So.
Look, I know you're excited, Allie, and I know you love both of these guys. It sounds like they got nothing. It sounds like it's a big dumb
did
waste of time.
Did you hear that? I mean, what are you talking about? Whatever. I'm still in. I'm going to watch it, by the
way. Sunday, right?
Again, that's Sunday on Fox.
Sunday.
That is right. Let's talk about some
September 21st.
Days. Oh, no, that's today. What's today?
September 21st.
September. Now I got to find
it. Damn it.
Come on, man. Thought you'd have it ready.
I didn't. I'm sorry. My bad.
What's today, Kevin?
September 21st.
Oh, my gosh.
I only had it the one time. Brought it up the one time.
All right, you guys. All of these stars born today, September 21st.
You're the worst. You're the worst. When it was The worst.
Can you send a whole show into some museum needs
What's
to
happening?
Take this whole show today.
Hall of Fame?
Museum of Death. Birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer, 74. Stephen King is 70. Bill Murray is 67. Abby Lee Miller is 52. Luke Wilson, 46. And Liam Gallagher is 45. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 8 on a Thursday.
So much Jim Rome, you guys. 3 hours of great sports talk on the Jim Rome Show, available at jimrome.com. And don't forget, you can listen to the program through the new radio.com. You can also find Jim Rome's standalone podcast there with new episodes. It's every Tuesday. Jim has been killing it on the podcast lately. He joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Guys, great. To be fair, it's like maybe 1 hour of great sports talk. 3 hours of sports talk and maybe 1 hour of great sports talk. Hey, guys, really quick. Can I say, as I just jump right in, you've probably covered this, but Sanchez, brother, what an unbelievable vacation.
Yeah.
I had no idea you had that kind of game. Big ups, kid. Big ups.
He was on a yacht with Instagram models in Greece, which is basically something that he should never experience.
Yeah, Dave rolls pretty deep, Jim. I don't know how he does it either, but he's got that no game game.
Well, exactly right. But what porn site did he screen grab all those pics from? And have they hit him with a cease and desist yet? Come on, bro. Dudes like you do not get on boats like that with party people like that. Come on, man. Own it.
You think he basically
Nice touch tweeting out to Rhonda Scruffy that you were coming home to make us all think that you actually left in the first place. Nice try with that, Sanchez. You may have fooled a few people, but not me.
So you think he was just in his underwear in his apartment? That's it?
Come on, in his mom's basement. Stop the lies, bro.
You know what? I think we all fell for it, Jim. I think we should have taken a closer look. You were right about
not
that.
Not me.
Stop all right, a lot of great stuff. Hey, Allie. Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Okay.
Hey,
a lot of great stuff to talk about, Jim. And I want to start with something that we've seen a lot of online. People were very keen to point out how poor the NFL Los Angeles attendance was compared to college football. And I wonder if that's a fair comparison. I want to hear what you have to think about it.
All right. So what happened was the USC Trojans played and they had a big, big night. They drew 75,000 or more. And then the very next day in the same stadium, the Rams had a fraction of that number. And at the same time, the Chargers could not fill a 30,000 seat soccer stadium right down the road. So it could not have gotten off to a worse start. And if the Chargers can't sell out 30 grand for football, what are they going to do when they move into a stadium that has 70 grand a few years later? I'm not here to hate. I'm not a jilted San Diego Charger fan. I hope it's just a bad start and not a really bad idea. But as I like to say, that was a terrible look for everybody.
It really was. And what do you think? I mean, people in Los Angeles just don't care about the Chargers for starters, and a lot of their fans refuse to drive up from San Diego because they feel burned, right?
Yeah, they're mad. I think that San Diego thought, or the Chargers thought, that, you know, they're going to be upset, but they love us. They'll follow us up there, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Every single day when I get to this show and I crack open the mic, the San Diego Charger fans, man, they're pissed. They're furious.
Yeah.
They're actively rooting for anybody who plays the Chargers. I mean, how weird is it that Charger fan is now Raider fan and they want their team to lose? They miss a field goal at the end of the game and they're looking to party. They hate their team now.
I don't blame
it's
them.
Incredible.
On a side note, USC Texas, the other game you referenced, was a fantastic football game.
It was a great football game, and they've got a great rivalry, and USC found a way to get it done. But this is how this town is, right? It's you need to be a star. You need to be here. There needs to be that identification, and they delivered. But then you've got, like, the Chargers, and the fact is the NFL really didn't want them to come up here. The other owners didn't want them up here. Nobody in L.A. was saying, hey, come up here, San Diego. We can't wait for you to get here. Mm-hmm. And now they're here, and really nobody gives a damn. Yeah. It's going to be a long fight.
But even though there are empty seats, Jim, the NFL is still thrilled to have two teams in Los Angeles just because of the TV revenue. I'm sure they're still making a ton more money having those guys here, right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, honestly. Oh. I'm really not that sure about that. I think that if it were up to them, they would have kept the Chargers exactly where they were in San Diego. The fans down there love them. This market, frankly, guys, does not need two teams. We made it 21 years with no teams. I really don't think that we need two teams. I'm not even sure the market can justify one team. So, no, I think that they would have been fine with them staying right where they were.
Talking to Jim Rome, as you do every week at this time here on the Kevin Beach Show, I mentioned the Jim Rome podcast, which drops every Tuesday. You can get it through iTunes, Google Play, and the new radio.com app, which is updated and looks great, by the way. You've had some wonderful guests, and you have a story for us. You had Dirk Nowitzki on recently.
You dudes are so awesome to mention that. Thanks. So Dirk Nowitzki comes on this episode this week. He talked about a traditional Kenyan wedding that he had, which included many different traditions that either he didn't know about or was not prepared for, including sacrificing a goat and feeding it to his wife.
Part of the tradition is you actually have to kill a goat and then grill it and then feed it to your wife. It's like, the killing part is a little aggressive for me. So they already killed it. So all I had to do was like cut a piece of the shoulder off and feed it to my wife.
Was there any part of you that thought, can I just not feed her a piece of cake?
Cake wasn't an option.
Hey, Bean, you do that, right?
That's insane.
You would do that, right, Bean? You would do that?
This is a tradition in where? Kenya? Is that what you said?
Kenya. You do that, right?
No!
I'll take that as a yes. Not only would I think I'm going to. Like any douchebag can smear cake in their bride's grill. It takes a real man to smear a goat. And I'm going to tell Janet we're going to renew our vows. You know, like Dirk, I'm not going to take a goat down, but I can take a pigeon down or something.
Right.
I'm going to feed her that bird.
Wow, that sounds great.
Janet
Come on,
is not
Bean, man up.
I'll say it right now for Janet.
Janet would do it.
I look forward to Janet's answer.
She can't wait. I already know her answer. She can't wait. In fact, she's going to push for the goat.
Speaking of the podcast, you also had Bob Costas on this week. And Kevin, you actually heard that episode. You were really surprised by a topic that came up on the show.
Well,
right?
Bean brought up, or somebody here in the studio brought up, why are there so many more home runs this season?
Most ever this season, right?
And I just said to Bean that you had Bob Costas on, and he answered that question. I thought that was a fascinating answer.
Yeah, he's really smart. Bob Costas said, I put it to him, home runs are up, so are the players juiced or is the ball juiced? And his answer was, full-blown anabolic steroids are out of the game, and I agree with him. Like, you're never going to see a wild era where Barry Bonds is so roided out of his head that his head grows. It's not like that.
Right.
But you know something's going on. And then above and beyond that, the seam heads will tell you. You get all that less sexy stuff like the ball has changed. There's advanced weight training. There's crazy launch angles. Batters swing out their ass because they're not afraid of striking out anymore. And there's improved technique. And on top of all that, when guys are throwing at 98 miles an hour and batters have adjusted and they can catch up to it, as strong as they are with their bat speed, the ball is going to jump for sure. So lots of different reasons.
And I would also like to add that if it weren't for home runs, baseball would be in a lot more trouble than they are in terms of getting people interested in watching the
game. Right? I think they should all juice. I think it should be required.
Home runs are most people's favorite part of the game, wouldn't you say, Jim?
Chicks dig the long ball, and I think you're onto something. I mean, why not let them roid? Let them right? shoot each other up full of roids in the on-deck circle. Bring back back knee.
Right, exactly.
And not only that, right, Allie? Yep. Back knee.
Listen.
You know what else was awesome? Back in the day when these guys were so roided out of their minds that their chicklets started to separate and they had to go with adult braces. So I love that kind of look. Back knee, 38-year-old dudes with braces right? who used to have perfect teeth.
Let's make it mandatory.
When I interned in sports, that was the freakiest thing I've ever seen when I would have to do locker interviews and dudes like turning around to their locker and just huge, big old boils on their backs.
Oh. Awesome. Pretty hot, right?
I can name some players
hot,
if
right,
you
Allie?
Want.
Okay. Good times,
yeah.
Allie.
Yeah.
Jim Rome. I bet you wish turn the clock back.
I will be the new commissioner of baseball if I have my way. But in the meantime, hear him doing his own radio show from 9 till noon, West Coast, the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com. And check out the podcast and all the rest at iTunes, Google Play, and radio.com. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you next week, sir.
Go back, Nate.
You guys ever crash funerals?
Nope.
That's
nope.
crazy, right?
Nope. Did that already, Kevin. Kevin's having trouble keeping the schedule straight today.
Hey, welcome in to the program. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in moments for his weekly visit. We got to ask Dr. Drew when we have him on, with all the thousands of hours of live television he's done, if he's ever had a situation like Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC had recently, where everything technically was going wrong. There's all sorts of noise on the set. You got people talking in your ear and you can't concentrate on what you're doing. Dr. Drew doesn't seem like a guy who I can't picture him blowing up like Mr. O'Donnell
he
did.
Seems,
can you?
Yeah, he's inflappable. Is
he's
that a word?
Pretty unflappable. Yeah.
He's
pretty zen. But if you haven't seen this tape yet, this came from a couple of weeks ago, August 29th. Lawrence O'Donnell's doing his show on MSNBC. He's one of the primetime hosts there, and everything is going wrong. Now, I have a little bit more sympathy for him, I think, Allie, than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's find out how bad it was for Lawrence that night.
What's going on? Why am I losing this? Why don't I have sound? All right, it's back. Someone's pressing buttons and turning my sound off. Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear?
By the way, you can hear him starting to crack. He is mad. And at one point, Allie, I think you said earlier today, he's seething.
He is straight seething.
I have a lot of Omar can talk in my headphones that no one can hear. Dave can talk in my headphones that no one can hear. And it's super distracting. So I can imagine I can imagine if there's something that's continuing on, you can't even pay attention to what you're saying.
Yeah, especially if it's unrelated to your show.
He's got the control room in his ear. He's got the reporters wherever they are in his ear. And it sounds like it's someone on top of that. And whether it's cross lines, I'm not really sure, or just someone holding down the wrong button. But here's what you do when that happens. You take your, it's called an IFB, out of your ear. So someone in the control room sees you do it, and you leave it out until you need to put it back in.
Who knew?
That's their cue. That when you see a reporter,
something's
going wrong, they take their earpiece out. He didn't do that.
He doesn't do that.
He did not.
And here's what ended up happening.
Someone in that control room is out of control.
20 seconds.
God damn it. You have insanity in my earpiece. It's not my earpiece. It's somebody talking on our lines. Every time we go to a SOT, there's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
SOT is sound on tape.
Please, we know.
Oh, sorry.
James Fallows and Josh Earnest, thank you both for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. Coming up, is Donald Trump going to be called to testify to Congress? Michael Iskoff has the latest on that.
By the way, if that's his delivery on the air.
That's what I'm saying.
At least he's given it his all.
You can't tell whether he's on air or just seething mad at someone behind the scenes.
Yeah, it does sound like an awful show. All right, so he's just thrown it to a break, and now I'm going to turn the mic up a little bit so you can hear. There's hammering happening on the set. Somehow there's some construction going on that is so loud it can be heard on the air.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the hammer?
It's on a different
floor. Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
By the way, this has happened to us on the Kevin Bean Show where people have been doing work outside the studio and it can be heard on the air.
I'll go down to the goddamn floor myself and stop it. Keep the goddamn commercial break going.
And I say that.
Mm-hmm.
Call Phil Griffin. I don't care who the you have to call. Stop the hammering.
That's the president of MSNBC, the name he referenced.
He's not taking that call.
No. How about at this point, Allie, when there's literally hammering that can be heard on the TV? Are you allowed to get this mad? I say yes.
Oh, for sure. But what are people in there? He's yelling that at cameramen. He's yelling that at the script deliverers. What are they supposed to do at that point?
They have
they
more.
Said
he
did, it's on another floor.
He did at first shout, "Who has a hammer?" Though, like, he was looking at people. I'm looking at you. You have a hammer. You're hiding it.
Right, but he's kind of nailed down to behind the booth. Behind the desk. He can't go anywhere. He's
neither
yelling
can the
for,
cameraman. Neither can the
but
director.
Somebody who within the sound of his voice can go track down who that hammer is.
I'm going
to
tell you
right?
about. 3 minutes why Bean has so much sympathy for this guy.
Okay.
Go ahead,
right.
Bean. Uh-huh.
Empty out the goddamn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there or out there somewhere.
Being really pinpointed.
Yeah.
The woman talking in my ear was talking about the Labor Day special repeatedly every time we went to a SOT.
Out of control.
Winnebago with a bunch of flies in it.
The new sheriff of Maricopa County, who beat Joe Arpaio, joins us next. I don't know why I bother to say how to cut the sots when you don't do it.
All right, so here's what's going on with Lorenzo Donnell on MSNBC. He's got the lady talking about Labor Day plans in his ear that has nothing to do with the broadcast. That's continuous. He's asked multiple times for some relief. It's not coming. He's got the hammering going on that can be heard on the air that's obviously driving him crazy. Now he's throwing it to a clip that has been edited the opposite of his instructions. He wanted it cut a certain way so that there's certain sound bites are in the piece. That's not, and he's just lost it at this point. Like, he's gone through all the major stages of grief now, and he's just resigned to hell at this point when he realizes, what's it all mean?
I just don't know why. So now I have to chase those stupid goddamn entrails that you allowed him to stick out there. Jesus Christ. Crazy f-ing sound coming in my ear. This f-ing stupid hammering. I told you why I wanted those f-ing words cut. It just f-ing sucks. It f-ing sucks to be out here with this out of control f-ing.
By the way, he did apologize later in the day once the video was released. And we haven't even mentioned this. This is obviously somebody on his crew that compiled this, edited it, and put it up on the internet.
Yeah.
And
people
don't like him. Allie sort of believes that this is an ongoing issue, not just a one time.
Yeah, you don't just compile a best of one day and put it out unless you hate this man.
That means that person has a lot more that they could and should release.
One day.
Right.
He did apologize. I don't have it in front of me, but he said something like a better anchor and a better human would have handled that better. I think it's completely reasonable the way he reacted to all the bad things that were happening to him. I really do. I have nothing but sympathy. I'm not saying he's not a bad guy or that they don't have reason to dislike him. I'm saying in this case, with all that outside external pressure on him, I'm surprised he didn't walk off the set.
30-second story. Back in the day, we were doing breakfast with Ben Folds 5.
Okay.
And it was in our building. Mm-hmm. And our engineering had it so that I couldn't hear Bean. Bean couldn't hear me. The band couldn't hear either of us, and we couldn't hear them.
You don't want that.
Right?
No.
Bean
That's
left.
Not a recipe for success.
Bean left.
He left.
He left. He walked out. He got in his car, and he drove home. And I did the breakfast by myself because he was so angry. He left.
But look.
That happened.
That's why you feel so bad.
Right?
I honestly think I would have regretted what words came out of
my
mouth.
No, you did
the right thing.
You did the right thing. He didn't. This anchor did not.
Yeah. And, but, and you know, as an anchor, the camera's always on. Mics are always hot.
Yeah.
But... I mean, it's no Bill O'Reilly. Let's just get that clear. That's still the best one. He's still OG at blow-ups.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Drew next.
The incredibly handsome Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every week at this time on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We always appreciate your time, sir. We got something important we want to talk to you about. But first, we were just having a conversation about this viral video, Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC host, a video of him off-air just screaming at his staff. He's got so many technical issues going on, including a voice in his ear that is talking about something that has nothing to do with the show. And I was speculating as we were listening to the tape with Mr. O'Donnell, I bet something like that has happened to Dr. Drew with all the thousands of things he's done on television throughout the years. I wonder if you ever had a breakdown.
I absolutely have, and I think about them not infrequently because I'm embarrassed to this day.
Is there tape?
Probably somebody has something that's going to show up like Bill O'Reilly's tape one day. But I will tell you, the one I did not apologize for was when we were doing that Life Changer show. I would sometimes get in these very intense interactions with people. We were doing interventions on drug addiction and stuff, and there'd be like, you know, set building going on behind me. That was, I screamed one time and said, I cannot do this work with all that going. I can't do it. I said it not nicely. And I thought that was appropriate.
I was going to say, that's not you losing it, though. That's you trying to take control of a situation.
That's right. But there are other times. And I try to figure out also why that happens to people when there is these situations on camera. So I think it's because you feel so helpless. You know, you're asking for very simple things, and it's like, you just feel out of control, and it's just a terrible feeling. And I think that people kind of lash out. And it's always the last straw. It's like I've told you 1,000 times, and
right.
Now I'm losing.
Yeah, and you look at a guy like Christian Bale, who by all accounts is, you know, as an example, is the nicest guy in the world. And he just had one horrific day that now people will remember forever because he screamed at the people on his set, you know?
And they should think of that next time. I'm going to think of that next time I start to lose it.
Well, listen, Doc, there were two things that came across, got in my ears this week that were related, and I knew that you could shed some light on. And they both involve hepatitis, which I'm going to be honest and tell you, I don't know anything about hepatitis. One of them was a very disturbing statistic, and I wish I had it in front of me. I heard it on the radio, and they said 1 in 30 baby boomers, so those are people who were born, what is that roughly, like 1965 to 85 or something like that? Whatever the years are, it's a 20-year span of people called baby boomers. 1 in 30 have hepatitis C, and most of them don't know it. My ears pricked up because
baby boomers are 1946 to 1964.
Well, like I said, I knew it was 20 years somewhere. I didn't know which 20 years.
Okay.
But the reason
30 years.
I was just so surprised because I thought hepatitis C was a really serious thing. And there's thousands and thousands, millions maybe, of people walking around who don't know they have it. What's the deal?
All right. So let me try to break this down. So hepatitis, the word just means inflammation of the liver. It's the itis, the I-T-I-S, means inflammation, hepa meaning liver, inflammation of the liver. We normally detect that by looking at something called the transaminase levels in the blood, which are a routine part of any chemistry test.
Sure.
So if you had transaminase elevation and you were a baby boomer, your doctor would usually test for the various hepatitis, the viral hepatitises. Now, not all hepatitis is viral, right? There's alcoholic hepatitis. There's other chemicals that can cause hepatitis. But you really want to talk about the viral hepatitides, they're called.
And I don't think we can say that.
Come on.
Positive we can use that language.
Shake those hepatitides.
and it is hepatitis A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Whoa! G's are the big ones, right?
There's a hepatitis G?
Theoretically. But the ones we worry about are A, B, and C. And D, delta, is something that's a cofactor with B that makes it worse. Hepatitis A, there was an outbreak in San Diego, an outbreak locally here. That is an acute hepatitis that doesn't go to chronic hepatitis. And chronic hepatitis is what we normally worry about. Though some of the outbreak of hepatitis A, if I read correctly recently, caused such severe inflammation that it actually killed people. So you can die from hepatitis A. Hepatitis A is transmitted by the oral fecal route, gentlemen.
That's not a route that I ever want to go on.
Not particularly.
Nope.
And there's a vaccine against A. If you travel, you get it twice, two vaccines a few months apart, and you can be covered essentially for life. Most people should have that vaccine. Hepatitis B is another virus throughout the history of mankind that has been probably the most significant. We now have a good vaccine against that we give early in life, like the first year, and I find it fascinating that the anti-vaxxers don't focus on that one. It's very weird to me they don't. But, we've pretty much taken care of hepatitis B because of the vaccines. That used to be big in IV drug users, but hepatitis C is the one that we have that's a big problem now.
That's bloodborne, right, the C?
It's bloodborne. B and C are both bloodborne, not oral fecal, but B is highly contagious and in such high concentrations in the blood that it's relatively easy to get. C C is very, it's almost identical to HIV in how you get it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and IV drug users commonly get it, and their sexual partners can get it. There are different subtypes of the hepatitis C, and now we have treatments for the different gene types of hepatitis C, and we can get rid of it, but most people that have it don't know they have it.
Well, that was my question. If it's so serious and has potentially so many bad things that can happen, how can so many people be walking around decade after decade and not even know they have it?
That's right. It can cause cirrhosis. It can cause liver cancer. And I don't really know. I think it's just an indictment of our healthcare system as much as anything, that, you know, people aren't being followed regularly by primary care doctors who can, you know, really detect and go over these things. And then these things are, you know, transmitted by multiple means, you know, and people contract it. Oftentimes we don't know where they got it. It's not necessarily, you know, if you're
Should people in that age group go to their doctor and say, give me a test for hepatitis C just to be
I don't
on
know
the safe
about
side?
I don't know about give me a test. I mean, you got to remember that's the drug company advertising, you know, trying to get as many people. Remember, the treatment is like $100,000. You know, one of the treatments.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's insane. It's one of these terribly expensive treatments. And there are alternative treatments that are pretty good. They're a lot less expensive, but it's been revolutionized. These people would die of this thing routinely or need liver transplants. Now we can just get rid of the virus in short order.
Gotcha.
It's costly. The drug company wants to detect everybody. Not everybody needs treatment, even people that have it sometimes. And not all the treatments work for all the viral types. But it's worth discussing with your doctor. That's
how do you know whether to discuss it with your doctor or not?
Everyone should discuss it.
Okay.
The question is, it's up to the doctor whether it should be tested. And usually, if there's any risk behavior, any possibility of exposure, and any history of transaminase elevation, then you would go ahead and test, for sure.
I just love that you said hepatitis. I just love that. To me, that was my favorite part
remember.
Of the whole show. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the live shows and podcasts that Dr. Drew is responsible for. The Heal app should be on your phone through the App Store or Google Play to get a doctor in the comfort of your own home. And don't forget, look for Dr. Drew with our friend Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, noon till 3 on 790 KABC. Thanks, Doc. We enjoyed it, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Man, I lost the date again. I can't figure out what.
Oh, it's the 21st of September.
Do you remember when it was September?
It felt good.
Yay!
Not gonna lie, that felt pretty good.
I'm telling you right now, a week from now, Bean's today's show, all he's going to remember is that felt so good to play that song. That's it. It's the most important thing to him.
I think he'll remember the 6 o'clock hour.
We all.
You
by
won't,
the way,
Kevin, but,
I will. This might be a good plug for those who join us late in the show. It might be worth checking out the Kevin and Bean podcast.
Maybe
today.
Not today, though.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I think that's 6 o'clock hour.
Skip the day today.
Do.
Yeah,
we appreciated it all, but today is not necessary.
We had some troubles. We had a rough launch this morning, I guess is what I'm saying. All right, Allie's in for Ralph now with the Showbiz Beat. And then, by the way, coming up right after the top of the hour, highlights of the latest Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. He had Foo Fighters in the van, and it's every bit as fun as you want it to be. That's coming up. First, here's Allie.
All right, you guys. American Made hits theaters September 29th. You
Can't
know this
wait.
Movie. Tom Cruise, he's a pilot, then he starts to smuggle drugs, and then he is contacted by the CIA. They're like, hey, why don't you work for us? And it just becomes a whole thing. The biggest covert operation in U.S. history. But we want you to see the movie a little earlier. How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of American Made at Pacific's The Grove on September the 26th?
Yay!
I know, kids. 5 winners are going to get that pair of passes. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And the first 5 callers are going to see the movie early on September the 26th. Hey, congratulations, Aaron Paul. And lovely wife, Lauren Persekian, they are having their first child.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Here's why I wanted to bring it up. Because Aaron Paul, great actor.
Right.
Amazing. One of the nicest guys you could ever meet.
Agreed.
His wife, don't know if you, have you ever seen her, first of all?
I don't think so.
She's basically an angel sent from heaven. But in 2009, she created something called the Kind Campaign, which talks about girl-on-girl bullying in school.
And it's not where I thought that sentence was headed.
Wow. And her partner, they go and do school assemblies, all of that. Did a documentary called Finding Kind about girl-on-girl violence. Oh, she's, again, Bean.
I just keep reaching for the bell in the first part of the sentence, and then it goes south. All right, go ahead.
I'm just saying, this woman is amazing, and I am just glad that she is procreating because she's doing everything right.
All right.
Look it up. The Kind Campaign. Hey, guys, let's talk a little bit Game of Thrones. Another big surprise yesterday. HBO announced yet another prequel for the series is in the works. That's five, if you're keeping track.
Wow.
Five different storylines in development. Entertainment Weekly reports that George R.R. Martin has confirmed that each one is a prequel rather than a spinoff, and none of the current cast members of the series will be involved. That's a lot of work. I feel like he should just finish maybe one book, right?
And then move on to something else?
No.
Or not?
But I feel like they're going to start spreading themselves too thin.
I mean, it's always a possibility. You hope not.
It is a possibility. And we found out something very disturbing about Kevin last week, and then Bean today, and Chip today. None of them have watched any episode of Law & Order. That's SVU. That's Criminal Intent. That's the original Law & Order. Which makes no sense to me. Because A, it's one of the best shows ever. Mm-hmm. And B, it's on like every channel, every hour of the day.
Right.
But Law & Order fans will be very happy about this. Actor Sam Waterston, he was the prosecutor Jack McCoy for 16 seasons on Law & Order. He's going to come back and do a guest appearance on the sister series, Law & Order SVU, this fall. That's huge for Law & Order fans. So, that was for you guys, Law & Order people.
What's happened so far on Law & Order? I'm thinking of jumping in.
Catch us up.
It's a different crime every week.
Well, I'm going to need some sort of a rundown.
They are ripped from the headlines. Birthdays. Jerry Bruckheimer is 74. Oh, by the way, all of these stars were born today, September 21st.
I mean, after last hour, come on.
That's all on you.
It's on you.
It was screeching.
I'm not sure what that noise was, but I didn't like it.
I had to switch screens, but then I had it. Come on.
Were you still thinking of the girl-on-girl stuff? Jerry Bruckheimer, 74. Stephen King, 70. Bill Murray, 67. Luke Wilson, 46. And Liam Gallagher is 45. I'm Allie McKay. And for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you something about the Foo Fighters. Nicest guys in the world. Most hilarious band in the world to interview. Possibly the biggest group in the world.
Best rock band ever. Arguably, yes.
No, it's not arguable at all.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to argue? Okay. Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Foo Fighters and their place in history, but I'm saying when you're talking best band ever, Dave Grohl would laugh you out of the room if you tried to put him in the same group
as Led Zeppelin
or a Beatles or somebody like that. They're awesome. I think we can all agree they're awesome. And they continue to be so much fun. And this week, they are the latest on the Carful Karaoke with James Corden on CBS Late Night. And they are just... It's a delight. It's 13 minutes. I wish it were an hour.
They'll pile into a van, and they immediately start singing.
Are you ready? All my life I've been searching for something never comes, never leaves, and nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost.
Do they have a bad song?
They may not.
It's crazy. So James Corden realizes that he's got all of the members of Foo Fighters in one van, and he asks them, how long has it been since you've all been together in one van?
It usually happens that we'll show up to an airport, and I'll have three or four vans for us, and we all pile into one.
Why? Why is that?
Why is that?
Because you don't want to be the one guy not in the van.
Because when you're the one guy not in the van, you know who they're talking about.
Smart.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't have thought of that, right? So then he talks to Nate, who was the first one to join Dave and start the band. And he's asking Nate about what the early days and what you thought of Dave when you formed the band.
Now, Nate, you and Dave, you are the original Foos. What was your first impression of Dave when you met him?
Nirvana had just collapsed, and so it was Nirvana was the biggest band in the world and hugely influential, coming from Seattle too, like the hometown heroes and everything. So yeah. It took me a minute to get over like that.
He's a guy from Nirvana?
That's funny. That's a fun surprise for someone in the band to find out today.
Right? So then he asked Dave Grohl about the night he broke his leg. And Dave Grohl says he was a little bit off balance. He jumped off stage. He landed on his leg. He didn't really feel anything at first because it was all adrenaline. Mm-hmm. But then he got back up and tried to continue.
Ow.
Yeah, and that didn't work quite as well.
But it was only the second song of the set, and I felt so bad that all those people had come and only seen two songs, you know? So I said to the audience, I said, oh, I'm going to go fix this, then I'll be back. So they pulled me out to the side, and they're like, your ankle's dislocated. We must put it back in right now. And I was like, okay. They put gauze in my mouth, and I like, just bite on this. And then I went, but my leg was broken, too. I'm like, okay, can I finish the show? And this guy holding my ankle, he's like, well, I have to hold your ankle in place.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, well, then you got to come up on stage. Right now. It was the best show we ever had.
Sky is a neighborhood!
Finish the show. Crazy, right? And then we saw him here at the Forum. He has had that thrown and the whole
Amazing.
Thing for his leg. James Corden is an air drummer. He's an air drummer.
Uh-huh.
Now, imagine sitting in a car with Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And Taylor, imagine sitting in a van with them and all three of them are air drumming. It was insane.
Did you like my air drums? Felt like I was right in it.
It's pretty good.
I felt like you were hands on the wheel, man. These are very, very difficult songs to drive to.
You a drummer?
No. I mean, I think I kick both your asses because rhythm moves within me. So,
think so?
Yeah, I've never really picked up the sticks.
Okay.
But I don't consider it to be an issue.
So they happen to be driving by a guitar center.
Oh, nice.
And he says, hey, let's pull over. And yeah, James Corden, Taylor Hawkins, and Dave Grohl sit down, all three of them behind a drum kit.
Oh, wow.
And they have a drum off. And then it gets to James Corden. He just falls apart. He just can't even. He laughs at himself within 1 second of trying to do a drum solo. And then a crowd, of course, is forming because it's at a guitar center. And so they bring some guitars up, and some of them still have price tags on them. And they play a song with James Corden as the lead singer. And you're not going to be able to tell because this is the worst clip in the history of clips, and I'm not positive why I'm even playing it. But it's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay.
By Rick Astley. I mean, you can sort of hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as
that was professionally recorded by a network, right?
It was, yes.
Okay.
And that was as good as it got. And then, as he's pulling up to CBS, he says goodbye to the band, but James Corden's a little sad. It's okay.
So you're all right. You all stay in a band. I'm going to get out of the car, and I'm going to be depressed.
Why? What do you mean?
I'll be like, oh, I was in a band for an hour.
Well, we never let you in.
You're going to have
to. I mean, yeah.
Technically, weren't really in the probationary period feel out.
Oh, you don't you guys.
That's outstanding.
Oh, man.
Why is Omar in here again? It's never good news when Omar's in here.
Omar's the worst.
I do great work.
Yeah, it is.
Omar is the worst. All right, let me fill you in on what's going on here.
All right.
Every year, K-Rock teams up with Red Cross, I want to say. Yep. Who do we do the blood drive with? Is it the
Red Cross?
I think it's Red. And we do a deal down at Universal Studios Hollywood, which is happening again, by the way, on Thursday. Next Thursday at the Globe Theater at Universal Studios Hollywood. Our man Ralph Garman is going to be back from vacation. He's going to be kicking off the event, broadcasting live down there starting at 5:30, all the way up until 10 o'clock. So the entirety of the morning show next Thursday, you can head on down there and give blood. And thank you in advance for doing that, because literally, you save lives when you spend an hour to give blood. And for people who go down there, we're going to be giving away tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights. We've got all sorts of concert tickets.
A lot of yapping right now.
K-Rock gear, all sorts of stuff. All right, so I say all that to say this. So part of our job is to record what we call the promotional announcement to get on the air for that event. And Omar
wrote a script that he wanted us to read for the commercial. The
now, now, let me just insert that we are not actors.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not by any stretch of the imagination. So the script is horrible. I mean, it sounds like his kids wrote it, and he hands it to us as if we're supposed to bring it alive.
You guys
know
just
what I mean?
Have no vision. You guys if have
it's
no
not,
vision.
If it's not on the page, it's not on the stage, Joe. That's what I've always said in my years in Hollywood.
Really?
So I don't know how you expected us to turn this trash into something that can be made on the radio, but we, having said all that, we're really terrible at it.
All right, so now I have 2 minutes and 52 seconds. This is the recording session of the promo, behind the scenes, so we know we're being recorded, but we're also talking back and forth to each other and trying to figure out what's supposed to go on. We talked to Omar at one point, and we're not happy with us. We're not happy with Omar. We're not happy with the promo. We hate it all, and here it is.
All right. It's Caro Boo.
Yeah.
That's I think Dave came up with that, by the way.
Hey, party people. It's the K-R-O
Boo. See, it's like K-R-O-Q, but it's Boo instead of Q.
Okay. It's the K-R-O Boo, dead or alive. How does that make sense?
That's what it's called, is the K-R-O-Q, dead or alive, Halloween party. Or
but I should, shouldn't I say? This is a blood drive.
Blood drive, whatever.
Shouldn't I say?
By the way, being called it a Halloween party or whatever. You guys are so confused at this point. It's just, you guys are barely starting to record. Well, how about just by trying to pre-read something, a-holes?
All right, back to the tape. How does that make sense?
That's what it's called, is the Caro Cube Dead or Alive Halloween Party. Or
But I should, shouldn't I say? This is a blood drive.
Blood drive, whatever.
Shouldn't I say blood drive?
I didn't write it.
I know, but I'm saying it doesn't make sense.
Wow. All right, so you did it, Caro.
Did you write this, Omar? You suck. You suck.
That's like playing a clip of you. Oh.
See, because you interrupt me with the song.
Okay. See, because dead or alive.
Wait, did I do my line now?
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
You did.
It's the K-R-O Boo, dead or alive.
You had done your line, by the way.
But... yeah, but I didn't know if I did it well.
Okay. Lord. Well, you still haven't done it well.
Okay. Now, I mean, honestly, for the promo, we're 10 seconds in?
Yeah.
Right.
Top.
Maybe. And here's the problem, is we know it's going to suck at the end, so why are we putting all this time into something that's awful? But we have to keep going. All right, so I did my line, and then you're doing Would You Stop?
Damn it, stop it.
Okay.
See? Woo! Just, it's our blood drive.
What are car sound effects? How should that sound? Like vroom, vroom, like that?
Sure.
Vroom, vroom. See? Because drive.
I hate everything about this.
That's it. Hey, oh, did you write this blood drive bull?
I did. Feel free to change it whatever you want.
You're a terrible human being.
You can do whatever you want.
Nope, we're going to do it. We're going to do it word for word. You're going to have to live with it.
And then you make sounds like you're getting stabbed?
Yeah, but you have to make sounds like you're stabbing me.
It doesn't say that.
It does. It says, that's it. Make sounds like you stabbing Bean.
All right. Ready?
Yes. He's going to turn this into a sex tape. All right, stop the tape. Stop the tape right there. So here, Omar has written it so that we have to make these ridiculous sound effects. Kevin has to make a sound, and he doesn't know how to make the sound, right. Nor would I, about how does it sound when you stab me, and then I have to make noises as if I'm being stabbed. And in the back of our minds, we both know the only reason this is in the promo is that Omar could use that tape to make it sound like something else is going on for the rest of time.
Yeah, we'll hear that in a second.
Oh, no.
But for now, back to the tape.
Come on, Kevin, stab.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Ow! We are straight right now.
Now what?
Now you do the next line.
Oh. Join Ralph Garman Thursday, September 28th at the Globe Theater at Universal Studios Hollywood. Free parking at the Frankenstein lot. Donate some blood like Bean is.
And then you're stabbing me some more.
Oh, come on! He's got plenty of that. We're not doing it again. Just
you
use
gotta
some
do more stabbing. Because I
use
I'm,
some of the other ones.
Because I'm getting hurt now. I'm getting worse.
Oh, no.
Acting. All right, we're almost done.
We've got 45 seconds.
Omar, make an alternate version of this with Allie, please.
No!
Plus, the SoCal Helpful Honda guys in blue will be on site handing out passes to Hollywood Horror Nights.
Can they help me?
Shut up, Bean. Wow, that sounded gross. All right.
That gave me a boner.
Oh, no.
After I heard this, though, Kevin ran into my studio, and I was laughing.
He was
so
on the floor.
He was on the floor. That's so good.
All right, so here's the remix that we wanted.
No,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Ow, 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 ow.
Oh, God.
You are straight right
what?
Now.
G-g-ga. Oh. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, oh no.
Smell it.
I hate it.
I hate it more.
So that's the behind the scenes. And this is this is the finished product.
I woke up. G-Rock. All I could taste was blood.
A bucket of blood.
Hey, party people. It's the K-R-O Boo. See, it's like K-R-O-Q, but it's Boo instead of Q. Okay, it's the K-R-O Boo, dead or alive. See, because dead or alive.
Stop it.
Okay.
Just, it's our blood drive.
Vroom, vroom.
See, because drive.
All right, that's it.
Ow, ow.
Join Ralph Garman Thursday, September 28th at the Globe Theater, Universal Studios Hollywood. Free parking at the Frankenstein lot. Donate some blood like Bean is. Plus, the SoCal helpful Honda guys in blue will be on site handing out passes to Hollywood Horror Nights.
Can they help me?
Shut up, Bean.
From Flatliners, in theater September 29th.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
All right, let's bring this thing in for a landing, shall we, you guys? And not a crash landing.
No, that's reserved for Fridays, usually.
Or 6 a.m. today, Kevin.
Maybe.
Allie is in for Ralph with a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
My friend Jeff Babko sent me some Showbiz news that I am very upset I haven't been able to tell you about all morning.
Okay.
You guys know that today is September 21st.
Do you remember when it was September?
Right?
I liked it. On this date, September 21st... No?
Come on!
Yes. Oh, you wanted to get? I thought we were even saying.
It's your thing.
I am trying to get him to play it more because I know it brings him joy.
You're the only one that's excited about it.
On this date, in 2001, Jeopardy host Alex Trebek appeared for the first time without his trademark mustache.
Yeah!
I mean,
that's huge.
That is some huge news on this date, September 21st.
Do you remember when it was September?
2001. That's some good showbiz news.
That is
for pretty much only me because
that's a great story.
That's who loves Jeopardy. Great news. 2 weeks ago, BoJack Horseman came back for season 4 on Netflix on September 8th. Guess what? They've been picked up for a fifth season, just announced.
Wow. People sure love that animated horse.
They love Will Arnett. Can we blame them?
Sure.
Who's with me?
All
you know
us.
What Will Arnett loves? Today, the 21st of September.
Do you remember when it was September?
At this point, you're just trying to wear me out.
That's a lot of work for you, is it, Bean?
Is it just pressing that button for the 21st of September?
Do you remember when it was September?
Yes, what does Will Arnett love, Allie?
Oh, no, it was nothing.
He loves the 21st of September.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay, very good.
Allie, are you high right now or something?
No, Drew. Okay. You guys, Halloween, a little over a month away. Pinterest and List have revealed their most searched for costumes of 2017 so far. Top five. What do you think?
Shrimp Company.
No.
Pennywise.
Number one. Pennywise, the clown from It.
Thank you. Now I'm out.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Donald Trump would be a huge costume this year.
Not top five.
Interesting.
Oh, that is a surprise to me.
It is.
All right. How about the Stranger Things kids? Are they still in?
They are. That's number two. And let's just say our own Chip kind of nailed it. She did 11 last year. Shaved her head for it.
I mean, it was great.
I mean, she was an early adopter. Coming in third, Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Yes. Fourth, I don't. Maybe I've missed all the giraffes that are popular.
What?
But giraffes.
Well, because of April.
Because of April?
What happened? Was that this year?
Yeah, April the giraffe what? With her her birth cam. Yeah, that
was she was faking it. And really? Then she
never wasn't faking it. She had a baby.
She never had a baby.
No, she didn't.
She did.
And B, how is that hanging around till now?
I don't know.
That feels like 5 years ago.
It does.
Right? Yeah,
that was this year.
Yeah, F the giraffe. And Wonder Woman.
Oh, sure, Wonder
Woman. Of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Just outside the top five.
Count Smokey Love. Mm.
Well, we've got time. Mm-hmm. We're a month away. Lady Gaga! As well. She is a delight. You guys, there's a big, big, big special airing Sunday on Fox. It's called Who Shot Biggie and Tupac? I'm all over it because, A, I want to know.
Right.
Will we find out? Who knows? But Ice-T and Soledad O'Brien are involved. Love both of them. And TMZ was able to post something. It's an interview that they did over the phone from jail with Suge Knight. And he seems to think that whole conspiracy about Tupac maybe being alive is leaning towards truth.
When Pac died, if he really did, you know.
If he really died, what do you mean by that?
I mean, when I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. So I don't see how somebody can turn from doing well to doing bad.
So you seriously think that he might still be alive?
I'm telling you, Pac, you never know.
Oh, there you go.
Mm. I'm not sure there you go. Mm. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I see kind of wrapped it up with a bow right there, right?
I'm not positive that that was there you go, as if it was, had been settled for forever.
But, Bean, when you hear that, do you go, wow, I sound really dumb when I say, I don't understand how they just suddenly died?
Look, he was fine 1 minute. Right. How is it possible he died the next?
He was in the hospital with gunshot wounds. That can go south at any point.
Well, and he died 6 days later after, I think, lungs collapse, respiratory failure, all of that. It was bad.
Even more of a mystery. I got Suge's back on that one. Something's going on here.
All right, Bean's on Suge's side.
Yeah, you might want to mark that tape.
Kevin thinks Suge's a pussy, though. Kevin says he's glad he's in jail.
He did?
He didn't say anything like that.
I'm like, motherfucking Tupac!
When did you say that, Kevin?
The 21st of September.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Beginning of the show, and he was so joyful. It's his favorite thing. We have killed it.
You have. You've stopped out all the joy.
And I hated him at the beginning, but now I'm all in.
Oh, I love it so much.
Because we're torturing him with it.
I love it. Were you guys big watchers of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No.
I watched some of it, but not hardcore.
It was pretty cute. Well, the CW Network is working on a new series about Sabrina. However, it's going to be based on the Archie comic series, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which, unlike the original, would be about a young Sabrina struggling to find her real self as she realizes she's half witch, half mortal, and find a way to stand up against the evil forces that threaten her, her family, and the rest of the world she needs to protect.
Look, CW's done a great job with Riverdale, mm-hmm. and they feel like, maybe there's more stories to be told in that Archie universe. It makes sense that they think about bringing back Sabrina.
I'll probably always remember the date I heard that.
Yeah. When was that?
September 21st. Do you remember
the 21st night, September? Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I'm with that guy.
We can ruin anything.
Yeah,
you
sure can.
It's really a gift. Yes, it really is. Let's talk about some birthdays. All of these stars were born today, September 21st. Do you remember?
Come on.
Jerry Bruckheimer is 74 today, September 21st.
Nope. Nope.
What do you mean, nope? You started it.
Play
you have
it.
To play it. A monkey. Do
you remember? No! It's going to get to...
Nope, that's all you got.
Bill Murray is 67. Stephen King is 70. Luke Wilson, 46. And Liam Gallagher, happy birthday, Liam. You are 45 today, September 21st. I'm Allie McCain from Ralph Garman. Welcome to the show, Miss Pete.
Hey, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100. We've got some highlights of the B-Team podcast, which you're going to love. And it's fun for us to hear as well because we haven't thought about some of that stuff for 20 years, maybe.
Oh, it's a good batch. It's a really fun batch, including our old friend Sam Weiser, a 103-year-old that we befriended, who we used to talk to all the time on the show. And the boys dug up the tape of us sending a stripper over to Sam's for his birthday. And he was all hands, man.
He was? That's what she said.
He really enjoyed it. And it was great to hear Sam's voice again.
One of our favorite people in the world, Aisha Tyler, joins us in studio tomorrow. Got the movie beat because it's Friday, a brand new internet roundup, and we check in with RJ Bell with his picks for week number 3 in the NFL. We'll see you tomorrow.